ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here comes the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joe Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Oh, hell yeah. You about to get all stung up.
And what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's Joe George, assistant to the regional manager behind the glass. You know what today marks, Joe Blank?
A new beginning.
New beginning, new PD, new sound. Which one do we think? 713-780-3776. It also marks the Summer of the Bees. Today's the official start of the Summer of the Bees.
Okay.
Everybody says Memorial Day is the unofficial start to the summer. First show after Memorial Day. This is our summer, Blankers. Joe,
I feel it.
This is the summer. Summer 2023 is the Summer of the Killer Bees.
Joe's already put in for the name change. Legally, it should happen sometime in the next month so he can become definitely. Bobby Joe. When he comes Bobby Joe George, then he can be an official Killer Bee with us.
His is just silent.
Yeah, Bobby Joe.
Yeah. Summer of the Bees. We had a summer circuit starting, too, this Friday.
Friday.
You're going to be up at Kima. Well, T-Box, Texas. I hope to. It'll be the first time I hit golf balls.
You beat me.
2 years, maybe?
Yeah, whenever you did is the last time you and I played at that
That's
indoor
right.
place.
That's the last time I've swung a golf ball.
I think same thing for me.
That place in Tomball.
Yeah.
That doesn't have a name anymore. We'll be at T-Box, Texas in Kima on Friday. Our summer circuit begins as the Summer of the Killer Bees begins right now. 713-780-ESPN if you want to play along throughout the show. 713-780-3776 on Twitch. Squared up on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. All right, let's get to the good, bad, and the ugly from the Houston Astros over the long Memorial Day weekend. You sweep the A's in Oakland. You let one get away a little bit yesterday. Sonny Gray's been arguably the best pitcher in the American League this year. To win that game would have been huge. You let it slip away, and today you have a huge mismatch with Joe Ryan on the mound against Brandon Belak. Huge mismatch in favor of the Twins. But that one stung a little bit for the Houston Astros on Memorial Day.
Yeah, before we backtrack any further and go back to Oakland, just yesterday, I was basically, like you said, we had talked about Sonny Gray a week ago, and you know, Minnesota, as much as they're in first place, you wonder, you know, if they're believers in themselves by the trade deadline, but there's a guy that you'd like to have in Sonny Gray. He's really good. I think teams are going to probably ask about him. But I had kind of written it off once it got to four runs for them. And 4-0, I was like, well, you know what? I won't have to waste a whole lot of time paying a whole lot of attention to this the rest of the way. Then it started to get interesting. Well, when Altuve hit the grand slam, I'm like, okay, now this could really make my day. This would be a phenomenal win when they looked like they were going to lose, when I had written them off. And this is something that they could really build even more on. And then watching it all just kind of fall apart right in front of me, I was like, well, gosh, they should have just been down 4-1 and called it a day instead of getting everybody's hopes up. Because that was bothersome. I was going to say crushing, but it really kind of pissed me off that they got back to where they were one out away from getting a win when it looked like they were going to lose. And then the way they lost it gave you more fodder to think about instead of just saying, hey, Sonny Gray pitched his ass off. We'll tip our cap and move on.
Yeah, that one stunk a little bit. Ryan Pressly, for the first time in a long time, blowing a save. Like, it's going to happen. You're not going to lock down every single save. Abreu hanging a slider, maybe one of the worst pitches he's made in the last 2 years. It was out of there like that for a two-run shot and pretty much fell over. That dude yesterday, by the way, the Duran guy, that's the first time I've really seen him pitch. Dude's bumping 103.
103, yeah.
But like sitting 103.
His split finger was 99.
Yeah, that dude's ridiculous. Like, he was sitting at 103. You see every now and then somebody will bump it up to like 102, 103. He was sitting at 103. That dude was unbelievable.
Yeah,
that guy was nasty.
He was really nasty. And you know, the thing is, I kind of got the feeling in the eighth that it still might not be the Astros' day when Neris says I got it,
yeah,
and puts both hands out, then all of a sudden just inexplicably looks at Bregman like, no, that's yours, without saying anything. And the ball just falls in front of him, and I'm like, oh, Lord, please don't let the wheels fall off. And lo and behold, they did.
Yeah, well, he got out of that inning, so was good, but it was like maybe a bad omen, which I didn't love how Neris did that. Neris called it, and then he kind of acted like it was Bregman's fault.
And they had the audio.
Oh, you just called it.
That was the beauty of it. On the replay, they had the audio up where you don't have to read his lips. You can clearly hear him say, I got it. And then he doesn't say, like, take it, or anything. Because, you know, the unwritten rule in baseball is pitchers aren't supposed to field any fly ball, supposed to get out of the way and let the infielders handle it. But at the same time, once you hear I got it as an infielder, now all bets are off. You're backing off because you don't want a collision.
Yeah, that was a weird play. Nair's calling it and then acting like it was Bregman's fault whenever he didn't catch it. What's the good from the weekend? Let's start there because the Killer Bees are always so very positive. We always start off with the positive in things. We're never negative about anything whatsoever. What was your good from the Astros' long Memorial Day weekend?
I think the two things that I would focus on, first and foremost, is you did what you were supposed to do. Once again, you manhandled the Oakland A's. And in years past, this team has a tendency to kind of play to the level of its competition and get swept by poor teams, play badly against bad teams, and underachieve against bad teams. In this case, playing a team that you clearly know is one of the worst possibly in the history of the game for the second straight series, you handled your business. You got more runs this time. You did what you needed to do. I love the fact that the offense clearly woke up with seven home runs in a game, which is the record for home or visitors in the history of the Coliseum. And so with that, I think tied into that with the fact that they did all those things was the fact that it looks like Jose Altuve is going to be Jose Altuve again, and that's phenomenal.
That was one of my goods, too, was Altuve looks like Jose Altuve. Yeah. Like he's hitting well. I think he's north of 350. He's already homered, was it three times?
Two or three.
He hit the grand slam in yesterday's game. He homered
Saturday.
Over the weekend.
Yep.
He's looking like Jose Altuve, which this offense right now is behind their pitching. Their pitching has the best ERA in all of baseball. The Astros are giving up fewer runs a game versus every other Major League Baseball team, even with the injuries that you've had in the starting rotation. The offense is below average. The offense is averaging less than average in Major League Baseball. So Altuve is a spark for this team. I love that he looks like Altuve. He doesn't look like, you know, he's coming off an injury.
He doesn't look like he's old and over the hill.
No, he looks great. Altuve looks really good. So that's going to help this offense, especially over a body of work, over a week, over 2 weeks, over a month, over 2 months. So it's great to have him back in the lineup. One of the goods that I had was the guy you just mentioned, Jose Abreu, hitting his first home run as a Houston Astro. Look, that was awesome to see Jose Abreu finally hit a home run. They had some fun with the trot around the bases, picking up full speed, sliding at the dugout.
That became a massive issue across baseball, across Twitter. It was crazy.
Yeah, but how about yesterday, whenever he was facing Duran to lead off the bottom of the ninth inning, he's yanking 104. Like, I don't want to act too fast.
I don't want to
be like crazy and hyperbolic.
I caught the same thing.
But Abreu homering and then yanking, turning on 104?
What did Blummer say? It came in at 104 and it left at like 107 or 108 where he said, and you know, the last three at-bats previous to that, there was another one where he hit it 95-plus or something. He was barreling up some shots. And I'm going, okay, I'm like you. Like, I don't want to get off on a home run that was in basically garbage time.
Uh-huh.
But when you start, and remember now what Joe Espada said last week, too. We feel like he's ready to break out. He's going to put us on his shoulders and carry us for a while. We all kind of chuckled. But obviously, they saw something, or maybe he found something that he's been able to kind of iron out a little bit. But that, coupled with what we saw this weekend and what we saw yesterday, at least gives you some hope that you might have a starting first baseman that might get back to respectability.
Yeah, him yanking on 104 off Duran, I find to be more promising than the home run, to be honest with you. Like, the home run's great. It's fun. You want him to get off the schneid. But him turning on, even if he's guessing, like, dude, he's been challenged with inside fastballs at 92 and being beat with those. Like, start guessing a little bit. So I like to see the 104.
91, 92, that was a little up. He wasn't even close to it.
I don't care if Abreu cheats a little bit.
No.
Like, if Jose Abreu's, like, guessing inside fastball because that's where he's being beat, if he looks silly on some breaking balls because he's cheating on fastball early in the count, I don't care.
Look, that's part of being a really good hitter is the fact that if you know, it's like when Bagwell's in the booth and he can tell you, well, if he starts you out going up high and tight, he's probably going to go next with something on the outer half, probably off speed or a slider. And if he can guess correctly, obviously you don't want him to swing and miss on his third strike and look terrible. But especially early in the count, if he's guessing correctly and he can capitalize because he's a good hitter with a good knowledge of the game in the zone, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, people are beating me with fastballs in early in the count. Guess fastball. Try to yank on it. Joe, you have some good from this Memorial Day weekend? Astros taking 3 of 4?
Yeah, I love that the Astros have just gone full evil empire this weekend. I love all of it. I hate the ugly already. We can do the fact that they deleted that tweet. What are we doing? Let it live. But, like, it was fun. Abreu running around the bases like that was absolutely incredible. Like,
were you
what
hoping
a scene?
He tore his ACL whenever he slid?
No.
Because that's not a
he's terrible
been, that's mean-spirited. That's awful.
We were talking about the ugly for a second, I thought.
Not a terrible person. No, I just – Jose Abreu, like, that play was awesome. Like, the whole weekend was fun. Yesterday's loss sucks, but whatever. And the tweet and how viral it got was just hilarious. Like, it was a great weekend.
You know, Chris Rose got in on it, and Chris Rose, and then this poor fan base, and then – I know Dr. Dre was great about there was a woman that was an A's fan talking about the poor fan base and that we shouldn't be picked on. And then he went back and found some receipts some of the evil tweets she had said with some nasty language in it. And he's like, ooh, I don't think you should be talking so much because everybody nationally and locally were talking about it. And, you know, even Dusty said, well, I kind of expected that there might be some retribution and they might retaliate. And I'm going, if all they... And part of it is on the rest of the Astros team, too. But, you know, if you're just talking to their team while on the bases or around the other guys and explain to them, hey, that had nothing to do with you. That had everything to do with the fact that everybody knew he hadn't had a home run in forever. His teammates were just being great teammates and getting, you know, celebrating and making a big deal of the fact when he got it. And it wasn't trying to show the A's up at all, but my goodness, people couldn't let it go. I mean, you'd think this was the horse head and the gun from the Rockets that cost my boy Chad his job in the Rockets Mavericks series.
I don't like that they deleted it. I feel like the reaction's ridiculous. Like, it's a silly tweet. Who really cares a whole lot about a silly tweet? I am one, though, that whenever you're celebrating, you worry about yourself. Like, to pour salt on the wound and kick somebody while they're down, I don't love that.
You think that's what they were doing?
I mean, they threw some shade at Oakland. They absolutely. We scored 10 runs.
Oh, you're talking about the tweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about Abreu, just the celebration.
I don't mind Abreu being thrown at. Like, I don't care that Abreu did that. I'm all in favor of Abreu doing that. Sometimes whenever you do those sort of things, it comes with a fastball to the back. That's the way baseball is. I'm not mad that Oakland hit him in the elbow. I'm not mad that Jose Abreu sprinted around the bases.
Yeah,
I'm not mad that the Houston Astros tweeted that they scored 10 runs in front of tens of fans. Yeah. I think that the reaction to all of that is very silly. I, for one, whenever you're whooping up on a team, I celebrate what I'm doing. I don't bring the other team into it. Just kind of how I roll.
Yeah, no, I just thought that it was – I thought it was a little much to dot him up. I mean, if you want to send a message, I guess you can brush him back. But like I said, if there was any communication at all on the field, it should have been clear that this had nothing to do with the A's or trying to show them up. This had everything to do with, you know, Abreu getting off the schneid and the teammates being good teammates and giving them some good, you know, good-natured fun. And they had fun with it. It helps that you were up big in the game. But I don't think that it's something that deserved to be dotted. I don't think he deserved to be hit. But... so be it. If that's the case and everybody thinks that, you know, as part of the unwritten rules of baseball, you run the risk, and they did, okay. But we see all these different Twitter accounts across sports, and they all love to take their little shot.
Sure.
And some of them are more personal than others, but there's a rivalry. But, again, you don't want to run the risk. I understand why they took it down, because the guy doing it knows there's a history, especially in this town, where people, all it takes is one owner or one high-ranking official on either your team or the other team that doesn't like it, and you could be in trouble for it.
See, I thought it was weak taking it down. Like, if you're going to tweet it, you gotta own it. You gotta own up to it.
I think the one thing is that you just got to realize in today's day and age, too, that there's enough receipts. Someone took a screen grab of it. Whether you took it down or not, it's going to live.
And it makes it worse because it's like, oh, we did do something wrong.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. What is your good? What is your bad? What is your ugly from the Astros going 3-1 this Memorial Day weekend? 713-780-3776 on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Astros had a good weekend, and you probably had a good weekend, too. It could have been better, though, if you had some remodeling done to your home, right? There's always ways to enhance your living space. You've been thinking about a home remodel. I know we've been thinking about a home remodel. Well, Pinnacle Construction is for you, and it's the peak time to do it. Summer months are the time that you need to get this stuff done. Have a plan to enhance your living space. You'll love it. Your spouse will love it. Your kids will love it. Just want something fresh? Creating a new look? Kitchen remodel, bathroom remodel, whatever you can dream of, Pinnacle Construction can do. From flooring to cabinets, new paint job. How about that pool? in these summer months. Yeah, cool off with a little pool. Pinnacle Construction can help there too. Pinnacle Construction is the name you need to know. General contractor with decades of experience that will help with any kind of repair. You've been waiting for the right people, someone you can trust, not charge you through the roof. Well, that's Pinnacle Construction. Doug Johnson, native Houstonian, serving all of the greater Houston area. Doug and his team guarantees quality in-house work, and they're here to stay. Licensed and insured with stellar customer service for every project and every customer. Get your free estimates with a qualified Pinnacle Construction technician right now. Call or text 281-900-3004, 281-900-3004. Visit the website 975generalcontractor.com. Financing options are available. Ask for the ESPN discount. Pinnacle Construction, born and building in Texas with over 20 years of general contracting experience.
All teams covered. No stalking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
What do you think of the new rejoins? 713-780-ESPN.
That sounded like the same script.
713-780-3776. Are we going to let Spencer Tillman off the hook when he says stupid things?
You should use your ears. Because listen closely.
Yeah.
Because that was not the same script.
Can you answer my question?
Shot at us?
No.
Are we going to... Can we still ridicule Spencer Tillman whenever
course.
He says things like Nick Cassero is the greatest general manager of all time?
Yes, of course.
Can still do that, right? Even
of
though
course,
he's a colleague
yes.
now?
Of course.
Yeah, he's
got to
realize that when preseason comes around, there's going to be plenty of ammo.
Yeah, there's no like gloves off here.
He's taking his shots now, but I've heard some of the things he says on preseason Texans football.
Yeah.
Just saying. Riss saying these drops are amazing. Junior Broncos is saying hot. Well, I'm not going to say that, Junior Broncos. It's a hot bee summer is what it is. Hot bee summer. You can get your hot blank body going for a hot girl summer.
Sure.
Hot bee summer. First day.
Joe
summer
is.
Killer bees.
Joe's
starts today.
Joe's going to run
a marathon. We're going to get tanned. We're going to get ripped. We're going
to
do all these things.
I'm going to try to lose weight. I'm going to try to lose weight this summer.
Yeah.
Try is the key word. But a marathon, well, no, never.
ApolloMH.com.
I don't run.
I went to the clubhouse gym today.
Yeah.
Attaboy.
You know, watch some people lift some weights.
Oh, you watched.
I'm going to eat wings tonight.
Okay.
Hot Killer Bee Summer starts today, baby. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Good, bad, ugly from the Astros weekend, 6-9-4-1 good. Even Abreu's outs. He's making some good, solid contact. Look, I'm not going to – I don't want to get over, you know, excited about this. But I kind of like some bats I've seen from Jose Abreu these last couple of days. I don't think he's going to be Jose Abreu MVP circa like four years ago.
Right.
I want him to be better than Yuli Gurriel. Like, it's a very small bar that I have for Jose Abreu the rest of the year.
Yeah, look, you don't need to be – well, it would be nice if you were. But I think because of how good and talented this offense is, how deep they are and what they're capable of, you just need him to be respectable. And I think up until now he hasn't been respectable. But if he gets to a point where whether the power numbers are there or not, if he gets the average up and the right numbers are trending in the right direction, the offense is going to be just fine, and that's all they really need out of him. And, of course, everybody's going to look at the contract and the length of time that he signed for and all those other things, and that's fair game. But because this offense is so good, you don't need the numbers per se that he had with Chicago. You'd like them.
It hasn't been that good.
No, I'm saying if they get that.
Yeah.
You know, but I just think if he could get closer to 300 than 200 with the batting average and get on base and he's not getting completely blown away by fastballs, that I think he could be a benefit to this team still, and you could still try and salvage some return on investment, because I have to mention it at least once a show. You know, for the kind of you extended yourself a little too far with what you did, and it's backfired so far, so maybe you can save face a little bit.
All right, let's get to our bads. 713-780-ESPN. For me, it's the Abreu slider yesterday. It's the worst pitch he's thrown in 2 years. Awful, awful pitch.
He's had two bad outings.
Two-run homer. Back-to-back outings where he's been touched up a bit.
Yeah.
He hasn't his last two outings, he doesn't look like normal Brian Abreu. Yeah.
I was going to piggyback off of that.
He pitched good after the home run. Like, it seemed like it kind of maybe snapped him out of it.
Yeah, I think, but I think still mentally, and it kind of goes to the fact that he's been in more high-leverage situations, I think it was kind of like once the home run was over with, he kind of just exhaled and went, oh boy. But then he realized, you know, he's still got a pitch. And he's got to try to keep it to within two runs. But when I looked at it, I was going to piggyback off what you said and say Ryan Pressly a little bit too. Because Ryan Pressly, to me, we know that in the past we've had questions at the start of the season again because of the shaking of the arm, and then they tried to say it was something else and whatever, needed more time. And we knew starting last year he wasn't going to be used back-to-back if they could help it. Ryan Pressly's stuff, to me, doesn't look to be the same kind of stuff that it was in the past. And it would have been nice if Abreu could have kept on his role that he was going on, because then you could just easily say, hey, look, we can give him some time off. We could put Abreu in the closer spot. He might never give it up if he gets there and gets comfortable. But now you've got Abreu who had two bad outings in a row, and you've got Pressly, to me, that just doesn't look the breaking stuff doesn't look to seem to be biting as much, and the fastball seems to be up in the zone. He's up in the zone a lot, and that concerns me because, you know, he was changing eye levels really well. The fastballs, he would move around, and then the breaking pitches were all down at the bottom of the zone and below, and guys would chase. And it just doesn't seem that the command is the same, and I don't think the biting on the breaking balls is the same.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Pressly long term. I think it's fair to criticize, you know, an outing where he got touched up a little bit. I'm not worried about, you know, the stuff. Like, the spin's still there. The velo is where his normal velo's at. He's not somebody who throws upper 90s. He kind of sits low 90s. I'm not worried about Pressly long-term at all.
No, but I'm saying, much like we said with hitters, maybe give him a little time off, or maybe space it out a little bit more. He just doesn't look the same to me.
Yeah. He didn't have a great outing yesterday. I haven't noticed the same thing that you have. Alex says Stressly was back yesterday. Ryan Stressly. See, that's when he went on his tears, when we were calling him Ryan Stressly. Mm-hmm. He was back to being Ryan Stressly.
Well,
he's
going
to be Stressly until he pitches well again.
Yeah, you stressed me out yesterday. So there, I'm calling you that, so snap out of it.
Todd says Pressly struck out the side the game before. It's just closers, though. You're prisoner of the moments are always. What's y'all's bad from the? I mean, they won 3 or 4 games. It's hard to find some bad here.
Yeah, Joe, what do you got for bad?
The offense wasn't great against Oakland, except for some big moments
and the explosion.
Well, you
on
had
Sunday.
One game with 7 home runs and double digits on the scoreboard that kind of made up for everything else.
I mean, it was. If you want to like nitpick at this team, you had guys walking in there with like ERAs are like over 100 who were shutting out the Astros for portions of games. Like, there was nobodies on the mound for Oakland, and like, you didn't demolish them. But this is almost, it's almost like, it's like people forget you can be bad at baseball for like a half an inning or half a game or a couple games.
I mean, how many games have the Astros played now? What is their record? They're looking at a 31-22 record. They've played 53 games. They're almost a third of the way through the year. And like we talked before the season, when do you start looking at the standings? When do you start really looking at the numbers? When is all of that stuff fair? We always say Memorial Day. Like, Memorial Day is the pretty universal answer to any of those questions. The Astros, as of today, average fewer runs per game than the average in the league. The Astros, as of right now, are a below average offense. Like, that is a fact. That's not an opinion.
That's very true.
But part of that is also you were missing pieces to your lineup for the majority of that first third of the
season. Sure, and Altuve is the biggest one of them.
Right,
but what are you getting back? Like, are you getting Brantley back?
If you do
get Brantley back, how much of a boost is that? So, like, yeah, you got reinforcements with Altuve, and that's a huge reinforcement. I think he's the best offensive second baseman in baseball. What are the reinforcements after that? I don't think that you can't count on Michael Brantley. And even if Michael Brantley comes back, you can't count on him to be a 300 hitter like he's been for most of his career.
And honestly, I know everybody would love to think that Dubon is going to be a guy that's going to be able to do this all year. But again, I go back to track record, just like we were talking about Montero. Normally, if you just look at their stats previous to this, it gives you a pretty good indication of the average. And he's a little less than average when it comes to hitting. This year, he's figured some things out. You'd love to see him be the guy that's able to keep going with the way he started the season, but I don't think it's realistic. But he played well yesterday. They put him in left field. I'm sure Dusty will try some stuff like that again. But I think you need way more than that if you're going to be the team that you expect to be at the end of the year. And that's not even getting into the starters that are underachieving.
I think the other thing with the offense, too, like where it's at, where it started versus where it's at today with the Altuve return, like you look at the numbers generically, and you see Alex Bregman hitting .235.
He's been really bad.
But since May 8th, before yesterday's game, he was hitting .311. So, like, he has really turned it around. Like, he looks like a much different hitter in the last, you know, 20 to 30 days of the season.
Not much power, though.
No. I don't think that power is ever coming back.
I'm with you.
I felt that way last year. Like, it's not that the power that was there during the MVP run in 18 and 19, like that stuff's gone.
I don't want him to hit for power. Like, I think he's a worse hitter when he's trying to hit for power. Yeah, I want him to be Dustin Pedroia.
But you guys remember that? I think it was 2 weeks ago when I said whether he was getting hits or not, it looked like Bregman was coming out of it. I was encouraged by the at bats he was getting. I'm still encouraged by the at bats he's getting. But you guys are right. I mean, the other thing that a lot of guys do, which they can't get caught in the moment of thinking, well, if I did it before, I can do it again. And they also, the machismo of all of this is guys that think, well, if I had a year like that, that's the kind of year I got to do it again. I got to keep being at that level. I think just like we were talking about with Montero or Dubon, guys have big years, and sometimes it's just one of those things that's a flash in the pan. He had an unbelievable season and a couple seasons together. But to be realistic about it, since then he hasn't come close, and there's no reason to realistically believe he's going to do that again. So just be who you are.
Yeah, I don't want him to try to hit 40 home runs. I want him to hit 15. Like, be a dude that can get on base. And he has, like, even whenever he's struggling, he's going to give you a good plate appearance. Like, he's rarely going to swing and miss. He's rarely going to chase out of the zone, although he had one yesterday. He's going to give you his walks, even when he's reeling. Mm-hmm. That's why he has, like, value to a lineup, even whenever he's reeling. Well, and Jose Abreu does not. Because Jose Abreu is going to chase. Jose Abreu is not going to walk whenever he's in a slump. Alex Bregman, when he's in a slump, he's still going to get on base 33% of the time.
Plus, if you jam him between Yordan and Tucker, he's going to see a whole lot of good pitches. He's going to do you some good just from being in a spot where he's going to see good pitches. He's in the middle of the lineup in a great spot.
Do you think he sees more good pitches now, though, versus hitting in the second spot and having Yordan behind him? Because I don't.
No, not when Yordan's behind him, per se. But I think that when you know as a pitcher of the next three guys coming up, the two guys that could really do damage, especially from a long ball perspective, are the two lefties. I think he's still going to see plenty of good pitches, and he's going to have more opportunities to have, you know, guys to knock in and have some opportunities to do some more things offensively because of that.
713-780-ESPN. You're good, you're bad, you're ugly from over the weekend. 713-780-3776. I got some ugly that I need to get to. We touched on it a little bit, but a couple more things that happened, especially in yesterday's game, that people are just over-sensationalizing. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. We were just talking about it. Summer's right here. You guys want to get that beach body going? You want to get ready for the summer, and you're struggling to probably get the results you think might never be attainable again? Go see the people at Apollo Men's Health because they can help you. There's a variety of different ways they can help you, from when if you want to get on a workout program and getting the right supplements and starting with a full body composition analysis so you can chart your progress and know when your body fat's going down and your muscle mass is going up. You're sore from the gym. You can recover quicker with HGH peptide therapy. Or if you just plainly want to lose weight and you're not a big gym person, they have FDA-approved semaglutide now, which is all the rage because of the fact that you could lose up to 6 pounds a week. And when you start thinking about that and you're thinking about the benefits, you know, if you do that for a month's worth of time and you could drop, you know, 20, 30 pounds, that's pretty amazing. And they have the ways that they can explain it to you. And like I said, it's FDA approved. So the fact of the matter is it could be very beneficial for you. Go to apollomh.com right now. See all the services they offer and provide. See if there's some that might suit you. If there are, make an appointment right there online as well, because you'll find out most major insurance is accepted and there's discounts for military personnel and first responders. But more important than that, you'll find out that the staff really cares and they get results. They'll put you on a program that works. They'll get you where you need to go. And that's why I love these people, because they get results and they get you to your goals, and they do it in a way that you can live with and that you can maintain and keep doing for a long period of time. Check them out and tell them I sent you by. Get a free body composition analysis on your first official visit or a B12 shot. Joe George needs to get in there because he can do so much for his beach body by he'll be wearing a banana hammock before you know it. All you got to do is go see my people at Apollo Men's Health because they're the best in the business. Tell them I sent you by. Good people doing great things on a daily basis.
Welcome back, Houston. It's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Risk likes these drops. We're asking you how you like these drops. New sound to this station, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. New boss at Spence, our good friend who always says great stuff about the Texans. Eric says ESPN 97.5 went full cheesy. So you got the good, you got some bad. Curious your thoughts. 713-780-ESPN. I'm curious you know, see what it sounds like for the next 2.5 hours. 713-780-3776.
Well, it's Summer of the Bees, so we know that the actual Summer of the Bees content is going to be fantastic. Better than good. It's going to be great.
Summer of the Bees, Hot Bee Summer.
Sometimes it'd be like that.
I think you went a little too far.
Okay. Well, that's what I normally do.
I think this is the line.
That's why I'm doing my job. Joe, was that too far? Sometime it'd be like that?
I mean, it's expected.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. I guess that's the best I can expect.
You got a career in politics, Eddie.
I know I do.
ESPN 97.5's hitting the road, by the way, for our 2023 summer circuit with the Summer of the Bees starting this Friday, June 2nd. We'll be broadcasting live from 7 a. to 7 p. at T-Box, Texas in Kema. Come hang out with us. Play a round of golf on their incredible golf simulators. Enjoy drink specials, door prizes. For more information on all the stops for our 2023 summer circuit, go to ESPN975.com. We know you're not working on Fridays in the summer anyways, so head up to the boardwalk. Come hang out with us. Start your dinner plans around 3. It'll be fantastic for everybody. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Good, bad, and ugly. A lot of people talking about this Lance McCullers thing. We're going to talk about Lance McCullers
in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, we'll get to the Lance McCullers stuff. Here is my ugly. Is the sensitivity right now with literally everything when it comes to baseball and the Astros. I've had a long-running theory that baseball sensationalizes everything. Jose Abreu ran too fast around the bases. We're going to hit him. And then when he gets hit, oh, no, why did they hit my Jose Abreu? And then you have, like, the whole Astros Twitter thing, which, again, it's, like, not my jam. It's not my style. I don't care, though. And if I was an A's fan, I wouldn't care. I think it'd be kind of funny with the sad state of the organization. But then you delete it. I found that to be ridiculous. I find the reaction to it to be kind of ridiculous as well. People are losing their minds about the Astros going through the wave yesterday, in the ninth inning of a save situation. I don't care if fans are doing the wave. And then apparently there were some people booing Correa. I didn't catch this,
but there
was enough interaction to know that it was true. Like, if there's one dude in Major League Baseball that doesn't care about being booed, it's Carlos Correa. If there's one person in baseball that thinks it's funny that Carlos Correa is being booed, it's Carlos Correa. And most people are giving Carlos Correa an applause as well. So this whole sensationalizing in baseball, he's running too fast around the bases, I'm going to hit him. And then, oh no, don't hit my guy. Don't do the wave at a baseball game. Stop booing Major League Baseball players. Stop being so sensitive about everything.
Well, I'm going to save my other ugly because it's going to happen in about 8 minutes. But my initial ugly was Lance McCullers Jr. And then kind of a spinoff of that is what you said, because I dealt with it all weekend. I mean, I was in total amazement that this Abreu thing became this big of a deal. And then you got national people saying it's so rude and so brutal to pick on a team when it's down and to insult them the way you insulted them. And I'm going, come on, man. I mean, seriously, all you got to do is just figure it out. Ask somebody if you don't know, but you know the dude hasn't hit a home run since last season in August. You know his team was all in good fun, just giving him some ribbing, so he went along with it and did it. The game was out of reach anyway, and suddenly it became this firestorm on social media, and it's one thing to have A's fans chiming in, but then, of course, you've got the Yankee fans, and then you've got the national media and the Chris Roses of the world and everybody else giving their 2 cents, and all of a sudden it was trending as this major issue and this topic. I'm going, for what?
I don't really take very much things seriously. I think I'm pretty laid back. I do take some things seriously, but it's sports. It's fun. All of these things are, and whenever you have a Memorial Day crowd, it's going to be a little bit different. Whenever you have a weekend crowd, it's going to be a little different. Usually the casuals go a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You don't have Chance, or people drive in from out of town that can't make a weeknight game, things like that. Your bigger crowds are on your weekends. They're on your holidays. Sure. So being mad that people are doing the wave, I find to be pretty silly.
Well, Dr. Dre on 290 and others silly. Have this major issue with it. And every time it happens, it's like this big red flag and it's embarrassing. It's everything else. The wave's been going on forever and a day. And it's kind of like, I've dealt with this a lot when I was working for the Rockets, where management thought they could tell people when they showed up and once they showed up, what they should do and when they should be in their seats and how long they should stay. If people pay money for their ticket, once they're in the building, it's like an airline ticket. They've purchased it. It's theirs to go and do as they please. If they want to stand up and prove to you they're wearing deodorant or not and wave their hands in the air and make the wave, so what?
Yeah, I don't care. I'm not going to stand up and do the wave
no.
because I'm too lazy.
My wife does, and she wants our kids to. That's fine. It's just not my thing.
Yeah, Todd says don't do the wave in the bottom of the ninth. Big C says, I think Big C said, yeah, ban the wave, hashtag ban the wave. E, in typical E fashion, I love the wave because I know it bothers people. Like, don't tell people how to fan. Like, Dr. Dre, like, he says he doesn't like the wave.
Yeah.
He also yells at the top of his lungs, like, at certain points of the game. So, like, what's the difference? Like, you're fanning the way that you want to fan, that you feel is appropriate. Other people are fanning the way that they want to fan, that they feel is appropriate. I could take or leave the wave, but I find the reaction of never do the wave to be absurd.
Yeah, I think there are a lot worse things fans can do.
Yeah.
To fit into the ugly category. Did you guys see the video that went viral from the weekend? From Derek Lewis, the UFC fighter?
Oh, I did, yeah.
The pregnant lady doing cocaine?
Yeah, I did.
In like the 100 section?
Like are we at the game?
At the game.
I think it was pretty close to the Gentleman Bar. Are we?
I think so too.
Are we certain it was cocaine?
She was sniffing something.
Maybe she has bad allergies. She's helping the baby. Like, I don't know the medicine.
Sniffing allergies?
I want to give the pregnant lady the benefit of the doubt. I really want to. Yeah, Derek Lewis, like, I don't know how he recorded, but he, like, recorded it.
He put it on himself
and was like, a look of disbelief. Like, he got Derek Lewis is like just ruined that young lady's life.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, especially because people are probably going to recognize her. Someone somewhere saw that and knows who it is.
He's knocking out people in the octagon. Now he's knocking out people at Minute Maid Park with his phone.
And dropping one line. He's like one of the funniest guys ever.
We've had him in.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, he's
so
really
good.
Great. And a good dude. Yeah, really good dude. He used to be big at the poker house.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he used to stop in and sit in with us. But you also had to make sure that you had a 7-second delay because certain things are going to come out, kind of like when you're interviewing Vernon Maxwell. Those things just kind of happen in the middle of conversations. Yeah, look, I mean, to me, all of this is just a little bit crazy in the fact that people just have these little hot buttons. And Twitter just makes it all worse because now you've got fan bases. Look, I saw Dre and others going at Philly fans because Philly fans jumped in. And Philly fans are going, they're the most vile, you know, organization in the world for doing this to the lowly A's and blah, 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 blah. And it's, again, all you got to do is go back and find some receipts and go, when you were whining and bitching in the World Series and pointing fingers and talking a lot of mess and then you got it handed to you, where were you then? It's just, I understand that fandomonium means that they're fanatical. They go a little far. Sometimes people are, these days, just go too far too often. And it's crazy how it all just kind of is a cesspool on Twitter.
People are mad at the wave at Minute Maid Park and you got a pregnant lady doing coke. Section 200.
Jeez.
But let's ban the wave. Let's ban the wave. Let's not ban the pregnant lady doing coke. Let's ban the wave.
Not one person's going to, I guarantee you, the same people bitching about the wave aren't going to stand up and say, hey, lady, knock that off. Quit doing that right now.
The wave got interfere with Ryan Pressly. It brought out Ryan Stressly. The wave did this, but, you know, go ahead and I'm going to stop there with the pregnant lady doing coke. 713-780 ESPN.
Anybody verify she was pregnant?
She looked pretty pregnant. Okay. I think it's safe to say she was pregnant, Joe George.
You saw this video? That's a bad, you know, that could be a very touchy situation.
She was like, she was really skinny. She looked like she was a cokehead, and she had a watermelon in her belly. Like, it was pretty she was pregnant.
You're going to refrain, and then you drop that bomb.
Well, I mean, I thought we were operating with facts that she was doing cocaine.
I mean, I don't know. I mean...
Remember when Amber Heard did that on the whenever she was going through the Johnny Depp trial?
She pulled out a napkin and like just like did like a line like while she was testifying.
Really?
Yeah.
During the trial,
she was like kind of crying. People were like making excuses that she was like sniffing, but like it looked very. I mean, who knows? Like, but it looked like she could have been doing a line.
Like as she's giving her testimony, she just like pulls up.
I would like to think that she wasn't like in the court as she
I
was
like
giving
think
testimony.
That she was.
Yeah, but had the sensibility. Like, when you're in a courtroom, probably not a good idea.
These celebrities live on a different planet than
I mean, we
do.
Talk about the fact that Herman of the Yankees with the same umpiring crew, when he got nailed, decided to try and get sticky stuff on his hand again and didn't think there would be any consequences. I think it's similarly to say, do you go into a courtroom and try and take a bump of cocaine and think that's the right thing to do?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and watch this because I'm pretty sure she's pretty pregnant.
You got to show it to me.
And I'm pretty sure it's pretty cocaine-y. 713-780
ESPN. You're pretty sure she's pregnant.
I'm more sure she's pregnant than it is cocaine, okay, to be honest. 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. All right, let's get to the Lance McCullers stuff. Everybody wants to talk about this. People have been tweeting us and texting us this like crazy. The latest Lance McCullers news doesn't sound so great for the Houston Astros. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Something that is great, you never know what you're going to see, is some Gentle Ben. We've been telling you a lot about the Gentle Ben Bar, and again, you never know what you're going to see. The Gentle Ben Bar, which is just to the left of the Crawford boxes, right when you walk in from the Union Station entrance, you got to stop by, get yourself some Gentle Ben on the way to the Astros game. They're playing at home tonight against the Twins. They're here for a homestand. Stop by Gentle Ben on your way into your seats. And you know me, I like a good drink, vodka, gin, bourbon, all in that rotation for me. And Gentle Ben Spirits does it better than anybody else. How do they do it? Well, they have a revolutionary Prosecco craft technology that eliminates the impurities for the cleanest, smoothest spirits that you will ever taste. Purification of Gentle Ben is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in Gentle Ben. Try a sip of Gentle Ben vodka, gin, straight bourbon, or the cast strength bourbon, and compare it to your to whatever you drink. You'll never go back. I've been a Gentle Ben man ever since I had that first sip. You get all the flavor with none of the burn. It is so smooth, so clean, eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. Look for Gentle Ben at the liquor store on your way home today. Ask for it at your favorite restaurant or bar, or just head to the Gentle Ben tasting room if you're looking for some weekend plans this summer. Also, head over to gentleben.com to learn more about your new favorite. Gentle Ben, the secret ingredient is what's not in it.
The Killer Bees. What about the murderous Jays? We've got Joel, Jeremy, and Joe. That's three Jays. And we all love Bees and Jays. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5. It's the Killer Bees and Murderous Jays.
So this cocaine girl at the Astros game, couple of things here. I just did a little...
I'm not so sure she's pregnant.
I don't think she's pregnant. In hindsight, that's my bad.
Yeah. Even Joe, because the second time when you like patted the brakes, you're like, I think I'm gonna back off of this one, and then you just went in full tilt. I was like, yeah. Ooh boy,
I mean, look, let my imagination run wild a little bit.
The story is still correct.
Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. Yeah. Here's the other like weird discovery in this. I mean, probably not as important as what I just said. This was in 2015. This was Astros 15. Like, why did this just now go viral?
Why is this out surfacing now?
This was 2015 postseason. Like, why is this viral now? I don't understand.
I don't know what brought it back out.
I don't either. Like,
but that might be the best thing for you, in case someone was listening.
Well, at least now we know if she is or isn't pregnant for sure, because they would be 7 years because old, 8 years old.
Scooter's getting ready for the second grade.
Man. Yeah. All right. My bad. Big C, no, I will not tweet it. You just search. I'm going to go through my Twitter searches later. It's going to be Astros cocaine.
So in the break, I showed him this video of evidently there was this WNBA game, and I don't know when it was played, but one of the women in the game goes to defend her teammate against a referee and touches his like bicep, and he turns and tosses her and goes like crazy. And Jeremy goes, oh, that's old. Yeah, I think that's older. Yeah. And I was like, okay. All right, I didn't know. And then we come back and find out the video of the cocaine woman is from 15.
2015. Like, what's Kugle says the guy recording her looked like Shaq. It was Derek Lewis.
Yeah, Derek Lewis, the MMA fighter.
Like, he fought for a title. I think did he not win
several
a title?
Several titles.
I think he was at one point the heavyweight champion of the world in the UFC.
I don't know if he ever got the title. I know he had several title bouts.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I don't know if he ever got the crown. Maybe an interim crown?
Maybe, possibly, but I know that he was in several title bouts. I don't know that he ever got one.
I just remember him taking his shorts off in the arena.
Oh, he also had some memorable quotes.
And saying his were hot.
Yeah, he also had different things to say about his sex life as it relates to training and winning and other things. And then he signed a deal with, wasn't it one of the chicken places here in town? Where he said that in order to perform at his best, he has to have, and I forget which... But they then turned around and gave him a sponsorship and took care of all of his meals because of it. And I know that he used to have his post-bout celebrations or parties at Little Woodrose in Midtown.
Yeah. I don't know. I remember really the chicken thing, but I don't remember what which one it was either. All right, Lance McCullers has been set-backed if you want to call it that. He's throwing on flat ground. He's no longer throwing off a mound. Dusty Baker kind of contradicted a little bit of what Dusty was saying, because or what Lance was saying. Lance was talking about how he wanted to like face live hitters soon and like get into a rehab game, and Dusty Baker's like, he might have said that, but we weren't close to that when it comes to Lance McCullers. So it does not look like Lance McCullers is close for the Astros. Like, he's not shut down. He's still throwing off flat ground, but he's not on a mound. He was on a mound a couple of weeks ago. Now he's been downgraded to pitching on flat ground again, not on the mound. He's been going to therapy, they've said. At this point, Blankers, like, this goes back to what I was saying last week. I can never count on Lance McCullers Jr. I can never make plans that involve Lance McCullers Jr. If Lance McCullers crashes the party and all of a sudden he's healthy to play, okay, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, and we'll figure out what's in the best interest of the team. If Lance McCullers is healthy in the playoffs, okay, cool. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it, and we'll figure out what's in the best interest of the team. But if I'm Dana Brown, whether it's this trade deadline, whether I'm looking ahead at my playoff roster, whether it's the 2024-26 man roster, I am never including Lance McCullers in my plans, period.
I was so ticked off about this when I saw the initial tweets coming out of the press conference because of the fact that you and I have had this discussion on multiple occasions. And I said, look, quite honestly, I'm not a doctor. I'm not in the medical field. But I cannot believe that this lingering non-surgical procedure needed issue has dragged on this long over this many seasons, that's cost this many games, and given everybody the same opinion that you have, which is you can't trust him even when he comes back. You don't know how long he's going to be there, and it's impossible to rely on a guy that has the kind of stuff that should be an impact for any kind of playoff caliber baseball team. And when you think about this, I don't know if there's a surgical procedure that could fix this, because like I said, that's not my expertise. But I do know that by now, over the course of 2 years, something could have and probably should have been done so that it didn't drag on this long, so that it didn't linger and keep reoccurring, and so it didn't keep him from pitching in this many baseball games. And I understand everybody says, well, he got a deal. You know, he's only making 17. Most pitchers of his caliber would be making double that or close to double that. Well, it's still not even a deal if you don't know how many games in a season you're going to get him for and how long he might last once he does come back. And every year it's a crapshoot and a coin flip as to whether he's going to pitch at all or not. It's annoying as hell. And to me, something should have or could have been done about this way back in the playoffs when he got taken out after the White Sox series and shut down.
My only issue is that, like, what if it's not?
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
What if we've seen pitchers who have been super talented in the history of baseball that have just that first injury just ruins everything. I mean, right now, Steven Strasburg's another example of a guy who's going through it. He hasn't been healthy in like 3 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, you know, Forrest Whitley's dinged up again. Not to that level of talent and success in McCullers, but
Wood.
I just wasn't going to say him because I didn't want Junior Bronco to come after me. But Mark Pryor and Kerry Wood.
Those are Cubs, by the way.
But Mark Pryor is a great example. Like, he pitched 4 years, and when he was on, like, he was, like, him and Lance are probably very comparable with how good they were when they first started out. And now, like, I think you start to wonder, like, is this the kind of injury that's long-term issue? And we're not talking about a return in 24 or 25 or some point this season. Like, is Lance done?
I think it has something to do with, like, I don't think that there's something to operate on here. Like, to me, it's pretty binary. If there is, you do it. If there's not, you don't. Like, I don't think there's any gray area when it comes to surgery on an elbow. I think it has a lot to do with, like, probably how you feel. Like, I think it has a lot to do with, like, does it feel 100%? Lance knows what it's like to feel 100%, not very much of his life, but he knows what it's like to be 100%. He might not ever feel 100% coming off Tommy John surgery ever again. He might be able to build himself up to the point where he's, like, kind of close, but then when he has one bad day and he's sore one bad day, it's like, uh-oh, I don't feel good again. So I think a lot of it is kind of, like, I'm sure that there's some, you know, damage there. I'm sure there's some shrapnel coming off the Tommy John, but I think there's a little bit of it that has to be, like, you got to be tough. Like, you got to be able to pitch through some
back
things.
To that card.
Yeah, I think he's soft. I do.
I think, again, from what I can do a little bit more research, talk to some people that are more experts in the field. But I think that, to your point, there are ways you could shore up whatever's going on, and it doesn't have to be major surgery, like a reconstruct of the elbow. But like you said, if there's some shredding or some you know, pieces of the tendons or whatever that are kind of causing discomfort or catching or doing some things, you could go arthroscopically and trim it up. There's ways to even enhance some of the tendons and the muscles and the things. That's why when people come back from Tommy John surgery, a lot of times they come back with a stronger arm and they have more success. I don't, and from a Lance McCullers perspective, kind of to your point, they're all connected. So if he's breaking down with the Tommy John surgery, the things connected to the Tommy John surgery that already broke down have a tendency to be next in line to start breaking down too. I don't know what could have been done, but something should have been done differently so that this wasn't a 2+ year problem.
That's why I don't think it's surgery. Like, I think it's kind of similar to the Yordan hand stuff. Like, do we think Yordan Alvarez needs hand surgery? He complains about hand discomfort every fourth month. Like, clearly he doesn't. Like, I don't think it's a surgery thing when it comes to Lance. Like, I think they would have already done it by now. 713-780-ESPN, 9227. If they really love Lance McCullers, they got to let him go. Lance McCullers has taken this bury me in the H thing just far too seriously. 6181, he won't be close until August. Watch. August feels like a pipe dream at this point. Like, August feels like a win for the Houston Astros. 8029, I know I'm beating a dead horse, but all capital letters, I'm done with McCullers. Is there a way for the Astros to trade him? You can't trade Lance McCullers. You're not going to trade a commodity that it's at its lowest. Like, you have to see it through with Lance McCullers. What you would get nothing in return for Lance McCullers right now. So, no, yes, there's a way for the Astros to trade him. You can give him away for absolutely nothing. I'm sure somebody would take him for absolutely nothing.
But you'd have to absorb a lot of the
maybe
contract,
not.
Too.
Like, maybe not. It's $17.5 million. People are desperate for pitching. Like, somebody might say, okay, we'll pick up the Lance McCullers contract and just hope that he's healthy. Because it's a reasonable deal whenever he's healthy. Now, if he's healthy is a huge question. I think you could give Lance McCullers away, but you're getting nothing in return for Lance McCullers. It's in the Astros' best interest to try to get Lance McCullers back and for Lance McCullers to try to pitch for the Houston Astros. Selling Lance McCullers right now when he's at his all-time rock-bottom low is bad business.
Yeah, no, look, I think that you're already in it now on the bottom line. You're dialed into the contract. So you're going to basically have to live with it because no team's going to sit there and say, yeah, I'm going to make a trade for a guy that I have no idea when or if he's going to be back, and when he comes back, how long he'll stay back and what condition he'll be in. You're right, you could give him away. You're right, there are teams that would probably take a flyer on him if it was just basically a minimal amount of money to try and see if maybe you could do something differently medically or have some other medical person that thinks they might be able to try something that might work. But overall, you're on the hook for this guy, and that's what's so difficult because – of the time that's passed. And yes, there have been glimpses, but that's, I think, what makes it worse. Because the glimpses, when you get them, look like an above-average pitcher in Major League Baseball that can be dominant at times.
From a frustration point of view,
it makes it worse. It gives you even more frustration because you're like, look, I know how good he can be when he's good. But then I don't know how long it's going to last, and then I don't know how long he's going to be out.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. We'll continue this a little bit on the other side. 713-780-3776, HRMP listener line. Also, I've seen some people in this city, some media types in this city, that said the Texans shouldn't bother with DeAndre Hopkins. Like, are they right? Should the Texans not at least kick the tires on DeAndre Hopkins? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX, Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.